Our text for this morning's homily is recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. We often talk about the major milestones in a person's life. If you look back on your life, what are the great milestones of your life? And we use that expression in regard to various aspects or realms of our life. In education, for instance, might have been your first day of kindergarten. I still have a picture of that. It might have been the day or the time in your life when you learned how to read or to multiply or to graduate high school. My senior year was the best 3 years of my life. It might be graduation from college for some of you in a year or two or six or seven. In terms of other aspects of your life, your physical development, maybe when you made it out of diapers, you maybe don't remember that, I hope you don't. Being able to walk, driving a car, maybe reaching kind of your final height and size that your body will be as an adult. And there are also major milestones that are still coming up in your life that you're looking forward to that will mark, if you will, very important transitions into various aspects of your life. Maybe it's getting engaged or married or becoming a parent someday, a future job offer or advancement, a variety of different things. We use that expression a lot to talk about certain key events or moments in our lives that seem to denote a change or a particular maybe new path or new venture for us. Milestones really go back to the time of the Roman Empire, at the time of Christ, when the Romans built their tremendous highway and road system, primarily to carry their military upon. They often placed, sometimes every mile, a tall marble obelisk that would stand up 3 or 4 feet off of the ground so that anybody in their convoy would know exactly how far they are going. And we use that expression still today, don't we, to kind of think about our lives as we travel, as we go through life, that there are certain things that mark it for us. And for each one of us, those milestones kind of come up in your life, maybe at different points than for other people. Now, maybe for some of us, they've been somewhat in the same stages of life, but they can come up for us at different times and in different ways and places. But there is one great milestone that is in the front and future for everyone here today, including myself. And that's really the milestone that our text is addressing for you. It's the moment that you leave this life and enter into eternity. And that mile marker for you may come sooner on your highway than you expected. Last night I was out at the soccer games. Congratulations to our teams. And I was talking to an old friend of mine who went to Bethany with me, and he was reminding me that over one of the breaks, when we were off from school, over one of the breaks, one of our classmates, someone who was on the wrestling team with him, was involved in a serious car accident where he ran into the side of a bridge at very high speed and was thrown from the car through the windshield and was killed. And he was talking about how that just sent shivers through our student body, and I still remember that. And he knew this guy so well. And he said, you know, you just don't think that's going to happen when you're so young and you've got so much ahead of you in life. That's an enormous milestone that's waiting for each one of us. The day we leave this life, and according to Scripture, have to then stand in front of God and stand in front of a holy God. That's an enormous milestone. in the temple in Jerusalem, and prior to that in the tabernacle during the Exodus, there was this place known as the Holy of Holies that's referred to on our text, where someone had to go in and stand before God in his presence. Inside of that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant that contained the two tabernacles that God delivered on Mount Sinai when all of his just wrath against sin was demonstrated, and where his holy law was written down and inscribed in stone. And not just anybody could go into that Holy of Holies. I'm sure there were a lot of people very afraid of what might happen to them should they have to go in and stand in front of God in his presence. We're told that when, in the book of Numbers, that when Moses went in to stand before God in the Holy of Holies, that he could hear the voice of God speaking to him. And I was thought, what did that sound like in that little sanctuary, that little special room, to hear the voice of God talking to him? Hollywood likes to make jokes about that and movies about that and kind of make fun of that, and we kind of laugh along sometimes, but what do you think the voice of God is really going to sound like? What do you think it's going to sound like to have God come and just address you or me individually? It's kind of easy for us to laugh about it now, but when that big milestone actually comes, it's probably a whole different scene. I remember years ago an elderly man, when I was just a vicar, a student pastor, an elderly man from the church who'd been a very devout member of the church came to talk to me, and he was crying and shaking as he talked to me. And he said that in the last few nights he hadn't slept very well because he knew he was going to die soon, and he was starting to remember a lot of the stuff he did in life when he was your age, and it was terrifying to him. And this was somebody that had taught in the church and had been a very devout member, and I thought, man, what a person's conscience can do to them. The fear that we can have of standing before God. Our text makes reference to our guilty consciences before God. What are the immoral milestones in your life that are going to make you terrified to have to listen to the voice of God someday? Well, listen to what our text says. What a change. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice the kind of boldness with which we can go into that scene. I'll read it again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God invites you to come into that scene, not afraid, but and not kind of hesitant, but he says, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and that's the key, by the blood of Jesus. That's the kind of confidence, the confidence that we can have in the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God because of what our Lord Jesus has done. When he took the flesh of his very body, the incarnate Son of God, and allowed it to be sacrificed and crucified and slain just like an oxen or a lamb out in the temple courtyard. And it's God the Holy Spirit in our text that's saying this to you. It's not Don Molstead, it's not the author of Hebrews. It's God who is talking to your heart today and inviting you to come with this boldness. That is how certain we can be of the grace of God and how absolutely cleansing the blood of Christ is for us. Our text says that Christ has consecrated us by his blood, made us holy. And now we are, even people like us, with the kinds of milestones in our lives that we don't like to remember, even people like us are holy before this holy God. And so whatever sin that is bothering your conscience today, understand this, that because of God's grace through Christ, it is gone. The problem about you being afraid of that final big milestone is really not in God. The problem is in you and me. It's in our fear. It's in our lack of faith to really trust what God himself says about how pure and holy we are in Christ. When I was a little boy, my dad would frequently at devotions bring up a Bible passage that he said was always one of his favorite. I'll read it to you. It's from Jesus talking about John the Baptist. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I still remember my dad at the devotion table taking his fist out and saying, God wants us to be violent about grabbing his grace. He wants us to take it by force, to be absolutely positive and sure that because of Christ, we stand as holy before him. God doesn't invite you to be timid or shy or bashful. Listen again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In the Roman Empire, many of those obelisks that stood up as mile markers and milestones had no numbers on them or no names on them except the name of the emperor, marking this as his highway. As a believer in Christ, as you look forward to whatever milestones are coming up, God, your heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has put his name on all of those great milestones coming up in your life, and especially the largest one that's waiting for you. Is it any wonder, because of that our author concludes, hold fast to the confession of our hope. Hold fast to the confession of this hope. Amen.